Welcome back to Books Closed. This is part two of my interview with Ami James. If you didn't hear part one, you should go back and listen to that first, and then come back and listen to this one.
There was 2 years I tattooed only for free. I had enough money to not have to worry about anything. It's different today. I tattoo because I still have to tattoo to make a living. But there was a time where I was really well off for a while, and where I didn't have to rely on anything but my businesses, and I didn't have to tattoo anymore, and I just tattooed, and people are like, going to stop tattooing? I'm like, no, I'm just going to tattoo for free because I love tattooing. I don't need the money. And it makes you all of a sudden really love tattooing again, because you're doing it not because you're being forced to make a living, but because you want to give it to people and the people that appreciate your art. And I wouldn't even tell them that it's for free. I'd just be like, no, you don't owe me nothing. And watch their faces just, you know, people burst into tears, or people so thankful. They just can't understand it. And I'm like, I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. I did it because I love tattooing, you know. And I wish I can go back to that. Maybe I wouldn't do it every day. And I'm not saying when I did that I tattooed every day. I tattooed probably twice or three times a week. But there was something really, really magical about just having to do tattoos because you want to, rather than because you have to pay the bills and now you're going to have to do 10 appointments this remainder of the month to reach your quota to pay your fucking insurances and the fucking kids' schools and everything that comes with life, you know? So I'm tattooing these days. You know, I lost everything in 2008. You know, I lost a lot of money in investing in, you know, real estate, whatever it was, and the economy dropped and everything. And I'm not saying that I was broke or hungry by any means, but I'd lost, like many Americans lost, everything. It didn't make me fucking think that I gotta, you know, fucking reassess everything and start all over. I was like, no, back to the grind, bro. This is what you've been doing. You're a tattooer. Just rely on what you're always good at. You know, maybe you shouldn't invest in real estate so much. Maybe you should do what you're good at and do what, you know, what makes you happy. And so I just went back to tattooing, and I got five shops, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you must be rich. I'm like, no, some shops fucking carry the other one through months, and that shop will have to carry that one through the next 2 months, and that shop. Nobody's becoming a fucking billionaire from owning tattoo shops. You might when you own a fucking tattoo supply company, but that's owned mostly by non-tattooers. It's very seldom that you hear a guy that owns a tattoo supply that still belongs to this business, like Saltwater or like fucking a few other companies that is for tattooers by tattooers. There's something that we as a community should be more supportive of, like making sure you don't buy from companies that don't have that foundation behind them. And I think that's something that we as tattooers should be more prone to fucking be active in supporting the companies that are there for the right reasons. But, you know, I still love doing what I do, and that's my livelihood. I hope to retire in a couple of years from tattooing so I can just go back to tattooing once in a while for fucking free just because I want to, and sell my shops and be able to just relax now. I'm almost 50, you know, and just want to fucking enjoy life. I want to spend time with my kids, you know. That's flying by in front of me. I still spend a lot of time with the kids. I try not to travel as much, even though, you know, I still do. But I try to spend. I'm such a fucking dedicated dad because I never had one, that it's the most important thing. And I'm doing everything I do to support my kids. You know, I got a fucking great family, and that's the most important thing in life, you know. So hopefully in a couple of years, I just get to spend the rest of my time with my kids and hardly ever be at work. So that's part of building Tattoo Dude, to be able to provide the same thing for other tattooers, to be able to think about retirement plans for tattooers that are almost losing everything, you know, to be able to fucking do great things for the industry that has treated me better than anything in the world, you know. So I don't know, man, there's something about, you know, being able to build a bigger community so you can give that information and help and do something back for the industry that gave you everything. To me, that's important.
Yeah, it's definitely important not to just take.
Man, everybody just takes. And it's funny. And like people think that, you know, because we did the show and there's so much fucking, so many thoughts of how people think they know me, and it's so far from the fucking truth. You know, the people that have known me for 25 years in this business still see me and they always say, man, you're still the same. I'm like, the fuck did you expect me to be? I really thought that you became that guy on TV. I'm like, TV is fake. TV is a script in the morning. If you're so dense to believe it and you think that I'm an angry guy, I'm like, what did you think? That one day I woke up angry because I was on TV making money? I'm like, think about that. I finally made money because it was inevitable. It was going to happen. It wasn't that we reinvented the fucking wheel. I could tell that to a billion people. That show was casted way before I ended up with the gig. And I could tell you that there were people on those casting tapes that had bashed the shows and all the shows, trying to get on the shows. And those ones that bashed it the most are the ones that didn't get, you know, taking bigger talents than me. It had nothing to do with talent. It wasn't that I fucking thought I was the greatest tattooers in the world. Or, you know, I never thought I was the greatest tattooer in the world. I still don't think I'm the greatest tattooer in the world. I don't think I'm great, period. I think I just want to do good, clean tattoos and strive to be the best that I could possibly be. But people's perception of what they think you are and who you are because of a TV show is completely false.
Right. You're almost like a martyr for the whole thing with the TV shows, I feel, because you were in a position where, I mean, did you experience a different treatment inside of the industry?
Fuck yeah, man. You know, like, you almost get shunned, but not by the old people that knew you, because the old people that knew me, I never turned back and shit on the company. I never taught anybody how to tattoo on TV. That's one thing, and I'm not giving Yoji lessons on how to pack, how to do little circles, or how to fucking approach. Nothing. That did not exist, because that's the one thing that I wanted to keep some integrity in creating TV. I thought that we would get to showcase. I grew up in a shop that was very much, Lou was a self-marketer. And he goes, this business is going to get bigger and better and tougher, but you're going to have to market yourself. And that's always something. Lou had cars and motorcycles and a belt buckle and eel skin boots. And everything he did was to give this persona that he was at the top of the game. And in a way, a lot of us grew up like that. You know, we had to have this thing that we are at the top of the game to stay relevant in a very competitive world. And so I looked at the show and said, first of all, none of us knew that it was going to be more than a fucking 6-episode thing. You know, we're like, this is probably going to flop, but we're going to get an advertisement like all the other shops are advertising. They're advertising on magazines. They're advertising in everything. Let's get an advertisement for our shop. That's what we thought. Little did we know that it was going to turn into 100 fucking episodes almost, and that we're bound by contract. And you're basically a slave to the system once you're in there, and you get handed a script. And if you don't get handed a script, you don't follow. You either quit or you get sued. And that's the way it is. And you see how much you're invested in it, that you're basically now in this whirlwind where you're just trying to survive. And you help as many people as you can, and you make as many people's lives change for the better, because you can bring all your friends that never had nothing. Like, I was sleeping on couches half my career because I was traveling and sleeping in people's couches, you know. And all of a sudden you can call these people and be like, come on, bro, you're gonna make $2,000 a day, come down right now, it's gonna change your life. You can go home and buy cars and homes and provide for your kids and be smart with it and help and tell them what to do with their money and tell them to invest and don't just beat off and fucking think that this is going to last forever. And I can look and say that I did that for a lot of fucking people. And I did it because I wanted to see them succeed. And man, my shop's full of guys that have been together for 17 years, 20 years. We didn't have this, all these people come in. I'm like, I took care of the people that were there with me through my journey. And You know, I didn't lose it all like MC Hammer, you know, but I literally had fucking helped a lot of people, and I'm happy to see them succeed. You know, I was always happy to see other people succeed because I think that's important, you know, like to hate on people that are successful is a fucking cancer you're going to live with.
Do you think that maybe some of the motivation for helping people like that is to ease the fingers pointing at you for ruining tattooing, some people might say?
You know, the there's two sides to this. I sat many times and thought whether I'm the reason that, you know, tattoos is where it is today for good or for bad. And when you say we're really intelligent, people way more intelligent than I am, and they're telling you, you had made tattooing into what it is today, $50 billion industry. Which I hate the word industry, but that's what it is, because when you're reaching $15 billion attached to anything, it's an industry. And you have opened it to people walking into tattoo shops everywhere where before we were convicts and fucking gang members, because that's what we were, bikers, convicts and gang members. That's what they looked at us like. And now everybody's got tattoos. Soccer moms are tattooed. Conventions are fucking packing 30,000 people in them because that never existed. Do I take that and say I'm responsible for it? No, it was inevitable. I have to say it again and again. If it wasn't me, it was going to be somebody else. There was 150 people casted. I just ended up who was the person that was chosen to do it, not because of my skills and tattooing. We got lucky that we ended up with a bunch of guys with some foundation to tattooing that was a proper foundation. But Discovery didn't know anything about tattooing. They didn't look at our portfolios to see if they're going to give us a job due to our technical skills. It could have been a scratcher in fucking Myrtle Beach that doesn't know shit about tattooing. And we would have ended up with a whole different fucking story. The thing is, I think really to do TV, there's charisma and there's energy in a room that makes a show, whether it's Friends, whether it's this, whether it's something that entertains people to want to watch. The dynamic between us was genuine because we were all friends, even though we were driving drama down people's throats because of the network, because that's what comes in a script. There was a genuine thing there that we were all friends, all suffering together, creating this thing. I'll never take the credit. And maybe some people want to give me the credit for the good and for the bad. It was inevitable. It was going to happen, and it could have been way worse, you know, and I always look at it as, because I always beat myself up on my tattoos or anything that I do. I never fucking wake up in the morning like, you fucking killed it, Ami, you're the man. No, that shit does not exist. Anybody that knows me, when they truly know me, they know I'm a really fucking humble, hardworking person, and I try to do the same for my guys under me that no, and I'm not saying under me that work for me because nobody works for me. They work with me, you know, and I always, the younger generation, I'm like, just take care of your shit, man. Just make sure you put money aside. Just make sure you fucking stick to the things that are important to you and all that shit that was important to me. And if you think TV is something that's truth, there's any truth to it, you're misled. There's nothing true about TV. You're creating a show and it's a bullshit canvas. And once you walk away from the canvas, your true self will stay with you for the rest of your career. Nothing was true about that. Because the only thing was true was tattooing. That's it. The only thing that was true about creating episodes on any of these shows is the fact that tattooing is still being done. The rest of the shit is just drama forced by the corporations. And if you believe that's true, then you're dense.
How have you been able to deal with the negativity that might have come from that?
If I was really fucking dumb, I think the negativity would have probably crushed me. But I saw past it. I looked at it and I said, you know what? I go to sleep content. I know that I've always been there for my fucking friends. I've been there for my family. I took care of my mom. I took care of my friends. I never had nothing. And I'm content with that. And I don't need anybody's, you know, stamp of a fucking approval to realize that no matter what, I've been a good fucking person to a lot of people, you know, and throughout the years, you realize that you'll lose friends that maybe don't think the same as you. And maybe those weren't real friends. And the closer we get to the grave, the less friends you have, because you realize that, you know, not everybody was a true friend. And through those last few years, you know, I've made really close friends that I realized that understand that fundamental goodness of being a good person, you know, that just that right thing to do. And man, you know, like, man, it's like Tommy Montoya, you know, ended up on the show. He could have got to his head and he blew up and he did 40 episodes with us, whatever it was. And he's probably one of my favorite fucking people in the world. And I've known him for the least amount of time. I've only been friends with him for like 8 years. But that's a dude that every time something happens, he's like, you need anything? How you doing? If you need anything, I know you're trying to refinance your house. I know that you had, like, you need $50,000. I'll send it to you. Don't worry about it. Like, it's just genuine, fucking solid people that are still out there, and his brother and you know, like my true close friends that have always been there to pick each other up. That's what it's all about. You can't let everybody that thinks they know you tell you that you're not that person. It's the people that really, truly know you will be there forever. And as long as you treat them good, they'll treat you good back. And that's the most important thing. Fuck everybody else. Can't make everybody like you.
Right. You
know? And people just love to hate. Yeah. When they're not happy within themselves, they'll always point at somebody across the street and hate on them because they're just not happy with themselves. If you're looking at the guy across the street because his car is fucking newer and better, it's going to give you a miserable fucking life. You know, I'll get into my fucking old Chevy that's beat up and I'll still be happy. I look at the guy across the street with the Ferrari and I'll be like, fuck, man, that's what makes him happy. You know, I'm happy for him. So, yeah, I don't hate. I don't fucking hold animosity. I don't care what people think. Sucks that when you get older and, you know, less people know who these old timers are that have paved the way. And that makes me feel worse, you know, like, you know, you see somebody in their 20s and they're tattooing. They look at, you know, Good Time Charlie, whatever it is, and walking around Lyle Tuttle, Ed Hardy. They're like, who the fuck is that old man or that old witch that's tattooing there? And she sucks. Like, bitch, you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for these people. Just the fact that you don't know shit just gives you this hatred inside of what's not in the norm for your thoughts, you know? I don't know. It's a weird world we live in.
It is weird. And I know that it can be tough. You can hear 1,000 positive things, and then that one negative thing can stick with you a lot more.
There's always... people always root for the person that's climbing up the hill. You're fucking trying to conquer Mount Everest. And there's the guy that's on top of the hill already, and he's done it 3 times. And everyone wants him to see him fall off the fucking top. Never come back. Because he's a fucking rich motherfucker that made it to the top. And they root for the one that is crawling up, trying to make it to the top. But when he gets to the top, they're not supportive of it anymore. Now they're rooting for the next fucking guy that's on the bottom. And it's sad because the journey that it takes so long, and I think that's why we, you know, it goes back to this Instagram and Facebook thing and why we created Tattooed and why we created the app, was because I watch guys tattoo for 6 years or 12 years doing a bodysuit. And they've worked so hard, 200 hours of fucking of a bodysuit. And they put it on their Instagram to show off their fucking work that they're so proud of this achievement for both sides, for the client side that has endured so many hours of fucking pain, to the amount of hours that we broke our back trying to do something to give to the client, not to you, but to the client. And now in 6 hours, it's irrelevant through algorithm. And that crushes me. It crushes me so bad that I realize how fucked up it is. That my life's work is judged by your algorithm. And in 24 hours, nobody will ever get to see that back piece. You know, it took you 12 years to do. You know? That's a fucked up thing. So, and likes. you know, and all those things that were so prone to fucking make an importance in our life, you know, and how important those likes are. I said, no likes on the app. Fuck these likes. What tattoo artist gives a shit about likes? You know, you want to know how good you are. Don't ever listen to your client. They don't know how good you are. These guys that have been tattooing fucking around you, that are your peers, they know how good you are, how bad you are. They'll tell you the true, you know, level what you stand in. Not your client. Your client don't know shit. It's very seldom the clients understand good work. So that's, I think that's the importance of us being all like it as a community to realize that it is important for us. It's our life work. And how much do we want our life work to be irrelevant in 6 hours? And we're still giving these people millions and millions and millions of dollars through our boosting our fucking posts to be relevant for another 2 hours. Even though you know that when you're boosting, you're not reaching your clientele. There's people just that love fucking bitches with duck lips. And they just happen to be in your algorithm there. And now they're following, oh, they just saw your picture and you take it. Like, wow, wow. They really liked my tattoo. I'm like, it's irrelevant. Did you see her fucking, you know, her feed? She likes cream puffs. And every pose is a duck lip pose with a peace sign. What is that relevant to you? You know, so this business is so, you know, it's so spread apart, and because we haven't had any unity in it, in a way. We just had so many things that, you know, we wanted to achieve, but we don't get recognition for it. From the old timers to the new ones that are just being lost because they're not educated on what it really means to hand over your life work to a company that to them you're irrelevant. You know, and that's why we wanted to create a platform that's for tattooers, by tattooers, and so consumers can book an appointment with you because you deserve that appointment because here's your life portfolio. And there is no likes and there is no disappearing in the algorithm because that should be taken away and it shouldn't be there for life work. You know, nobody's going to tell you, hey, we want you to do a gallery opening, but you're only there for half an hour and we're taking your picture off for the rest of the fucking day. There's 60 other guys.
And we're only going to tell a third of your audience.
And we're only going to tell a third of you. And you know the number, which is a third, 3%. It's not a third. It's 3%. 3% of your audience will actually view your content. 3%. And if you're boosting and you think you're buying something with that, you're not targeting. You think you are, but you're not.
Right.
You should look through it one time and see who you're targeting and to really feel how many. And it's hard when someone has 250,000 followers. Is he going to go look through who he's really targeted when he boosted? No. It's too many people to scroll through amounts of bullshit to realize. But yeah, the average person is 3%. 3% of your fucking followers will actually see your content.
People that want to see your stuff.
People that really want to see your stuff, but because they haven't been active because they've been in Honolulu for 2 fucking weeks. At that point, since you didn't like their pictures for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yep.
And I hadn't really need to stop that. And
it's a big undertaking to go up against something as large as Instagram or Facebook.
I know. But it's important for us. It's important for us to be able to have a marketing tool because advertisement for us is really becoming hard for salt water, you know, for companies that deserve to be the ones you choose as an artist to where you're buying a Bishop or Lucky's or these companies that do deserve where you're buying and how you support them. How are they advertising? Where are they advertising? You know, Instagram and Facebook, that's not an advertisement. I had to take on that. That's my main focus, is to be able to provide that for what's a remainder of our business that we can still hold on to, because it is important that it stays with us, you know? And yeah, maybe I'll be known to do that one great thing. It's definitely not the other ones. I'm fine with it. Completely content with it.
It's the whole thing is so odd because the original basis, my original idea for this show was to discuss specifically the impact of technology and internet and all this new stuff on tattooing. In the first season of episodes, by the end of it, I was just kind of, I had had enough. You know, it was enough of talking about the similar thing with some like-minded people. But since then, I've been able to kind of step back a little bit and look at it differently. And it's almost like, it's almost like an experiment in a way, because I've had Instagram for as long as it's been out. Mm-hmm. And I kind of peaked at a point. So on average, a picture of a tattoo would get, you know, a good one would get like 200 to 300 likes. But then since making this podcast, now the same tattoos will get 2,000 likes or mm-hmm. 1,500 likes. Mm-hmm. And it's never more clear to me how none of it matters. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't mean anything. And when people seek so much validation through that stuff, it's like a battle that you'll never win. It's like an abusive relationship almost.
It is. We as human beings are built a certain way genetically to have this this need to have some form of validation, hopefully by your peers and not by, you know, sheeps that are following you because they think you're something that you're not. But I think it is important to be able to obviously translate it to business, to work. We all need to be busy. We need to have as much work as possible to stay afloat. I think you just have to look at it and realize, what is the importance of having a fucking Instagram or Facebook? If you're thinking you're there because of you need your fucking kick of likes to make yourself feel better about your fucking life, then you should probably just stop tattooing. If you're there because you're looking at this is the only thing we got left in a marketing tool, then you need to start pursuing maybe different avenues, and hopefully the avenue that will be provided will be a better avenue for you to spend your money in or your time in to be able to advertise to 100% people that are only interested in what you do, not by likes or fucking kicks, you know, but by just trying to drive business to your shop. That's the most important thing. That's what we're doing it for. And that's it. You know, I think everybody should start doing something to be able to secure a future for what we have left, you know, because it's becoming so competitive and huge corporations are going to come in and they're going to gobble it all up. And most people are completely blind to it, but it's coming. There's companies that are buying everything in the tattoo industry. And, you know, people always say, well, would you sell that company to a company like that? I'm like, fuck no. We are the biggest platform in the world for tattoo content, media, anything you want. But I'll never sell it to a company that'll just want to gobble up the tattoo industry. I'll keep it for fucking ever if that's what it takes. But I think there's so many people doing some fucking great things, but, you know, it takes a lot of power and money to be able to fucking do something that's big. And if we all stick together, that's probably the best way we're going to do it, because none of us financially are going to be able to fight the gobbler, you know? We just have to do it all together, and our strength will be in how much our community stays together, you know, and how much we support each other instead of fucking hating on each other. It'll probably be way better for our longevity, you know? At some point, the Welsh and the Irish stuck together through many other reasons of war, you know, to realize that there's a greater fucking, you know, there's a greater course at the end. And we should probably do the same, because we are going to get gobbled up soon. And it's happening. It's happening in front of our faces. Most people don't know that there's companies that are buying all these supply companies and they're just going to gobble it all so they can monopolize on it. So I'm kind of like, nah, fuck you. We're gonna make sure that everybody's aware of it. We're gonna make sure that we're gonna spread the idea that companies that came from cosmetics don't belong in our industry, and that you should probably support the companies that do belong in our industry. And here's a guy that's been tattooing for 50 years, and you should probably buy his machine rather than that nose trimmer that came from a cosmetic company. And how do we do it is by being able to have a community that we all can have a say and talk and voice our fucking, you know, our beliefs and debates through everything, you know. And we don't have to all agree, but we should at least all fucking be open to talk about it.
And do you feel like time is kind of running out in the sense that at a certain point, and I don't know if we're there yet or not, that the younger group of newer tattooers will start to outweigh the older tattooers that hold the same ethics that you do.
100%, it's already happened. Man, you ask questions that you basically already answered, because you've done so many of these and you've accumulated a lot of information.
I'm just trying to guide you to spit out my own agenda.
I love it. You're fucking good. You should be in the CIA. We're outweighed already. There's 80% of the population in the tattoo industry these days are kids that have been tattooing less than 6 years. That's 80%. So
they grew up watching you.
They grew up watching me, but they hate me. How about that? That's the funny shit.
That is funny.
They wanted to become tattoo artists because they watched this stupid show called Miami Ink, which was relevant to some that never been, and maybe wasn't stupid to them, and introduced them to wanting to get tattoos. The funny thing is the people that got into tattooing within the last 15 years, because that's how long it's been, almost 15 years. They got into tattooing because they watched Miami Ink, but they hated on me when they became tattooers because I am not the cool underground tattooer. I used to be. I used to be the tattooer for tattooers. I used to work at all the cool fucking shops back when there was only 5 shops in a fucking country. And I would work with fucking shops that were the shops, and I was just a young kid that was hungry and that did decent tattoos. But I went out there to get it, and I worked at Hank's back in the days, and I worked at Bob Roberts back in the days. I worked at these shops that would have, by far, would have held me up in this fucking pedestal of, like, that's one of the oldest underground tattoos. If I never did the show, I would have been one of the coolest motherfuckers walking through the booths. But I'm not. I'm this... I make fun of myself sometimes. I'm like, I'm the hard rock of tattoos. You know, like this hard rock cheese ball fucking guy that belonged to this reason why you started tattooing. I'm the fucking person that probably the reason you started tattooing, but you hated me because I was at the top and you were at the bottom. Even though the reason you started racing was because you watched this. And it's sad. Because you actually fell for exactly what we were not supposed to be doing. That, you know, you should have embraced the fact that 1 million people that year went and got tattooed, and 6 million people the next year, and 12 million people the next year, and 16, and 25, and 30. And the reason you have a livelihood and people coming in to get sleeves is because you didn't have a sleeve back 20 years ago, 15 fucking years ago, unless you're a tattooer. And the only reason you could still have a fucking job was probably because of a stupid fucking show that opened it to the market. And that is not me taking the credit. It's just a coincidence of having a show that opened tattooing to the public, to the norm. And at that point, how do you hate on something that paved the way, like I would hate on guys that started tattooing in the fucking 50s, and they weren't good, but I didn't hate on them because they paved the way for me to be a tattooer, you know? So, and it's not me, it's the road that was paved. The tattoo shop was just a road that was paved, not me. You keep people that want to blame and point fingers pointed at me, not the show. It's a specific. That guy, that guy's got to be the most arrogant guy in the fucking world because he became the biggest name in their mind in the tattoo industry, undeservingly. Like I had something to do with it. You know, like I'm the mastermind and I'm sitting there behind the curtains with my hands.
You're
like
in the editing room.
The Wizard of Oz, you know, and I'm pulling this fucking curtain over your face. I'm like, get for real, man. The road was paved because of a show, not because of any of us. And the next success of the show and Ink Master, which they all hate on me, but they want to be on Ink Master. You know, it's like...
But Ink Master's cool.
Super cool. I never... You know, the funny thing is I never watched my shows. I watched 2 episodes of my entire career. I watched my wife go into a room and I would walk out of the room and go read. and she would watch the show because I wanted to vomit watching myself on TV.
I was going
to
ask you that.
You want to vomit. You want to kill yourself. You want to kill yourself because what they do with editing, which is The Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, that's what you can make. He's God. Make you look like a douchebag and make you look like a saint. And at one point, you look at it and you're like, this is just acting. And the only thing that's real is my tattoo that I'm about to do at 5 o'clock. Other than that, this is just acting. And hopefully you think that people will be smart enough to understand that, but you realize that the world is 80% fucking mongoloids. And I'm sorry to say that to all you mongoloids out there listening, but the world is 80% uneducated mongoloids. And only 20% of us can actually look through whatever we're being fed through media agendas, through propaganda, through all the things that are being fed to us 24/7 to make a sense of life and what is real and what is not. And if you choose to, you know, be on the side that just thinks this guy is a fucking multimillionaire and that's what you choose him, then you're just delusional and that's what you want to believe, you know? But the truth is, nothing's changed. I'm not living in some fucking castle and I'm living in Miami in some fucking house that's worth $900,000 that, you know, I sold 3 houses to get that house that I just kept flipping and flipping because you think that I'm a billionaire, you know? It's an absurd thought and I'm fine with it. And there's no shame in it, you know? Like, I'm very happy at what I got and what I was able to achieve from coming off sleeping on a couch and from a fucking street punk kid that never had nothing and grew up in a fucking studio apartment with his mom and his dad and never had, with his mom and his brother, never had nothing. Never had a dad, never had things left for me, never had nothing, to be able to do something and be part of something that paved the road for something bigger that had nothing to do with me. It was inevitable. Just happened to be on that bus. It's not me, not everybody on that bus was responsible for driving the bus.
So all you listening, Ami's here to say, fuck you.
Yeah, man.
Fuck off.
You know, it's not even about that. It's just, you know, like, it's not even a fuck you. It's like, pull your head out of your ass.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said before, they root for you when you're coming up. But once you make it to a pedestal, it's cool. It's too late. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I walk around in conventions, and I only do 2 conventions a year, maybe. I do Mickey's convention in London because he's one of my closest friends in the world. And we work together a lot on how to maintain the industry with some integrity, which most people don't understand and don't even pay attention to. But people like Taki and Tintin that are throwing these conventions trying to feature the best of the best by handpicking the best. Here was a reunion of old classic tattooers that really understand fundamental tattooing. And then you see these 20-year-olds that just hate, even though you come from the same world I come from. Or maybe I've even had it harder than you, you know, and it's not a dick measuring competition of who had it harder, you or me. It's just a recognition that we're all there due to an unfolding event of circumstances that ended up this broad spectrum of a community that allows you to make a fucking living. And, you know, it's sad that some of them won't recognize, but they will eventually.
Do you think that 20-year-old you would be the same way?
Fuck no, man. I was an angry 20-year-old because I was dealing with luggage that I haven't consumed my whole childhood. You know, I was just angry and violent as a kid. And I'm not the same person. I've always been this outspoken person. Everybody knows me for 25 years in this industry, knew that you want to have a good fucking night with me in my 20s, it's going to be a good night because you're going to go and I'm going to say whatever comes out of my fucking mouth. I'm never going to edit it. I'm always going to give it to you straight. And I think that was kind of the appeal to why we ended up in the show, not because of tattooing. But I realized that, you know, you get wiser and wiser the older you get. through the experiences that you go through. And unfortunately, when you're 20, you just look at anybody that's 50 and you think that he's a fucking old timer and he's losing it. You don't really, you know, make sense of how much information was acquired by 50 to really become wise about life, about anything, about tattooing, about this, about that. We used to. We used to look at old timers, we praised them. I remember when I was 21 years old and I would go to a convention at 22, 23, 24, 25, I would see Lyle Tuttle, I would see Eddie, and I would go work at Eddie's shop in Philly, and I would go fucking, you know, I would go work at old timer shops to acquire information because I looked at them as gods. And today they look at an old lady tattooing that's been tattooing since the 60s. And she's an old witch and she needs to get the fuck on her broom and get the fuck out of here. Because what she's doing is disgraceful. That kills me. That is the most hurtful shit that I see.
That's just casting aside any context. Or like anything that surrounds why that person does what they do. It's having no consideration for where they came from at all.
Nothing. They don't understand that the reason you have food on your plate is because the hard work that they put in into an industry that was so fucking taboo and so hard to be a part of that nobody would get a chance to be there, especially women, especially ladies. To be in that industry back then was so tough. Carrie Barbara and even predecessors, there was such a hard fucking business for them to survive in that you really had to be a cool motherfucker as a lady that takes shit from men and throw it back at them and had to live in that really fucking hard world. Gay tattooers, what Cliff Raven went through and all these fucking, you don't know shit about history of tattooing, but you're sitting there and you're hating on people around because you're clueless. It's sad. But it is hopefully something that we can fucking give them a book to read so they can, because that's all it is. It's education. And I hope that I can be a little bit part of that, you know, where we can change people's perception of what they think is right, righteous in this business and be like, it's actually not. It's a way deeper meaning and a way deeper fucking thing behind all these people that have been tattooing years. Maybe they weren't good, but do you understand that at a time, there's no information about tattooing. There was no tattoo equipment. There was no needles. There was no education. It was nothing. It was literally raw. There's a reason why we were so slowly. It's before the computer. We literally, time stood still before the computer in evolution. You know, we evolved 2 million years. We didn't move a fucking step forward. And all the Sumerians just showed up and all of a sudden agriculture came and boom, somehow everything has changed. The same thing happened in the tattoo industry. You know, everything has changed. So the information came through your phone, your laptop, your computer, your home computer, and before that. But that change is something that, you know, made it so relevant to, but unfortunately, people don't look back to realize where it all came from. Now it's just,
what do you mean? It came from Google.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, it came from Google. Just ask Google.
Just ask Google? Think Google knows anything about the fucking tattoo industry? Think Google will tell you who invented the tattoo machine? Go ask somebody for 20 years old who invented the tattoo machine, see if they know. They don't know.
How can you can't even expect someone to appreciate like a piece of knowledge when they did nothing to acquire it other than like click a button. And I think that sums up a lot of the problem with having people truly appreciate and like dig into stuff. There's always going to be people that do, but the general public, I think it's hard to get them on the hook when, you know, we're in the information age, they say. So it's just so much that's overwhelming that no one can really cherish a single thing.
The demise, and I'll always say it, the demise of the tattoo industry was allowing companies to sell tattoo equipment to people that should have never had them. That the only way you should have acquired tattoo equipment was by doing it the right way. It wasn't the shows and it wasn't anything. The shows would have just made tattoo popular for the 60,000 tattooers around the planet if you would have just left it there. But the greed that came after that had nothing to do with the shows. The shows would have, we would have already been fucking all of us retired. If we would have just been the 60,000 tattooers globally, not even. The problem is 60 million tattooers at this point. You know, this, it's just absurd. And the reason why it happened is because companies found themselves making millions of dollars selling tattoo equipment to anybody that can knows how to use the internet. And on your phone, you could buy a whole shop in a matter of 3 minutes from these companies that don't give a fuck about this industry. And these kids are hating on old timers, even though they don't understand, you know. So I'm not hating because there's a lot of young kids that get it and they did do an apprenticeship. There's a lot. You know, there's a problem, you know, where I remember being calling National because that's the only place that you can order ink and needles. You remember that shit probably. And I would call and be like, it was Winona or somebody on the other. Well, who do you work for, kid? And I'm like, Tattoos by Lou. Well, let me call Lou then. I'll find out. Boom. Hang up. And then Lou was like, did you just try to order some ink? Yeah. All right. Call back. She'll take your order. All right. And then you get powder. And then you got to mix the shit. And you turn purple for fucking 2 weeks. You know,
your
like
blender blows up.
You fucking look like a smurf by making fucking ink for 6 days. I mean, people don't understand what it took, you know? And now you could just walk into stores. It's like a dispensary. It's like a weed dispensary for fucking tattooing. And they still want to point at me or at fucking, you know, Ink Master or at LA Ink or at other shows as if, or Joe Capobianco, like he fucked up the tattoo industry like Ami James did or this guy there, Chris Nunez. You guys are fucking clueless, man. That's not the damage. The damage was done, if you want to complain, by people selling tattoo equipment. We never fucking taught you how to tattoo. We never told you you should be in the tattoo industry. We just showed you what we do. Plus some bullshit that came with it, but that's not what we fucking told everybody to. Fuck, it's a free-for-all. Start tattooing out of your fucking kitchen tomorrow. You know? This was not the message. The message just got distorted, and now you want to blame the fucking person that just was there, you know? So, and it's not just me, you know? It's a lot of people.
You're in a pretty unique position, I would say.
I'm a pretty unique position, I would probably imagine. I don't know why, but, you know, I'll be the guy that goes down for the rest of fucking humanity is the guy that did it. I don't know why. I'll take the good with the bad, you know, and obviously it's mostly negative, but fuck it.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. You know, the people that you care about, as long as they know you're a fucking good human being, what the fuck do you give a shit what everybody else thinks? It sucks that you can't re-educate everybody to really fucking sit down and listen. But it maybe these kind of things, maybe, you know, and not just for my part, which is irrelevant, but to these old timers that I think is important to listen to. Why I ended up having a fucking job while these guys paved the road, you know, and I think that's important. That's important for all tattooers to listen to. If you love tattooing, you should know about the history like any other fucking job. You know, tattoo suppliers should not be able to sell to just anybody. It should be illegal. That's a fact. You know, if you can't go and start plastic surgery in your fucking kitchen, you probably shouldn't be able to tattoo in your kitchen. That's a fact. You know, that you should try to get a proper apprenticeship, but it's irrelevant already. It's done. You can't take back time. You know, it's over. But that's just what happened, you know? You know, I just have to live with it now, and we have to fucking try to make the best. At least now, I know you already been tattooing 6 years, but go read a fucking book and get some history. So at least you sound smart. So at least you know now why you even have a fucking job and why you're tattooing and why you have a right to tattoo and why it's legal for you to tattoo and why, you know, you have all the fucking capability to do things so easily now because it was paved through a hard road before where people worked really hard to just do one fucking tattoo. You know, there should be more information available. There should be more books available. Ed Hardy puts out these books where it's, for us it's interesting, but how many fucking 20-year-olds that are just started tattooing even know who Ed Hardy is? They thought it was a clothing brand. Yeah. They don't even know the caliber of a man that guy has changed American tattoos forever. And they're clueless. They think he was a blinged out hat with some bedazzled fucking jewels on it. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
And he might be one of the other few people that I would like into your position as someone who people see and point a finger at as that's what went wrong. That's what happened to tattooing.
Oh, dude.
But it's Ed Hardy.
You know, it's funny, man. I sat with Christian Adige. He came down to Miami, and he, right when I started Miami Inc., and he came down and he goes, "I want to sit with you." And I said, "Well, what? I'll be at dinner on Wednesday at the beach if you want to come fucking talk over a drink. No problem." He said, "I'll be there too." He said, "Let's have a meeting." I said, "Okay." I didn't even know who the fuck he was. And he sat there and I was having dinner and he goes, "After dinner, can you come sit with us?" Didn't even know it was a business meeting with a proposition. And he walked up to me. He didn't know where I came from or what I've done. He just knew that I was the face of tattooing. That's how he thought about it, you know? And I never looked at myself as a face of tattooing. It's like, "You're fucking crazy, bro." Sat down. There was 9 lawyers at the table. And he goes, "I want you to be the face of Ed Hardy." I go, "What?"
He has a face.
He's got a exactly.
I've seen it.
I grew up looking up at him like Jesus on a cross. You know, for us, it was embedded in my education to know and understand who Ed Hardy is. And why I'm tattooing today is because people like him. And he goes, "Well, he's too fucking old and we can't market him." I go, "You got the wrong motherfucker, bro." And I looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, man, I can't be your guy." He goes, "You're going to turn down millions of dollars." I go, "You couldn't pay me enough fucking money to be a face of somebody else's name that I look up to and that I understand how important it is to respect that dude. And unlike you, I'll be here when you leave. And I'm still here. And it's fucking 15 years later. And I'm still here and I'm still in this fucking business because I love tattooing." And he goes, "This is the biggest mistake you'll ever fucking make. And I'm sure, and I'm going to make sure that I crush your company." So I just had my own line of clothes, you know, and t-shirts and hats and like everybody else. He goes, "I'll make sure you'll never get any." Did. He made sure I never sold in any place. I could, like, my wherever Ed Hardy ended up, he goes, "You take him, you won't get Ed Hardy." So he crushed me. And I just said, "Okay, well, it is what the fuck it is." There were days where I wanted to go over there and smash his fucking French teeth down his throat. I dreamed about it a few times because, you know, I realized what he did. But at the same time, I held myself pretty fucking content at night going to sleep. And I never spoke to Ed about it. And, you know, it's not like Ed was a friend of mine. He's in way above me, you know. And I was like, "I don't think you understand who you're talking about when you say Ed Hardy. I don't think you understand what that man means to us in this industry."
Well, that's apparent in the way that they use the imagery. And
yeah. I mean, listen, Ed Hardy didn't, you know, he made more money probably doing that. And I'm happy for him that he did, because not a lot of old timers ended up with anything from tattooing. But that, once their shops were irrelevant because they couldn't tattoo, the guys that they taught how to tattoo left and opened their own shops across the street and da-da-da-da-da. And maybe Ed was a lot more influential and definitely one of these brightest people in the industry that ever existed, you know. And I'm sure you would have always been fine, because Ed, had collected a lot of art and had done so much for the community and wrote books and information and relevant to me and my peers, but maybe not relevant to these new guys. But it definitely made me feel good that he at least made money on something that was going to take care of him, because he's not young and none of us are getting any younger, you know? 50 is fucking coming at me really fast. And I realized that, you know, you got to save as much and put away as much money, because there's no K-1 and retirements for fucking tattoo artists and benefits and healthcare and all the shit that you might get being a fucking cop or a fucking, you know, fireman or work for the city as a post office. Fucking, we're fucked. And these kids that think that this shit lives forever, I'm like, we all get old. That's the one fucking guarantee in life. You will die. And it's the older you get, the faster it comes. So I'm happy. I'm happy that he got to do it, but I would never, ever consider doing that, you know, to somebody that I fucking looked up to. And I think that's something that we've lost, you know, that I'm a dinosaur in that mentality, maybe, you know. And it's funny, like, I met Christian Audigé years later. I still felt like beating his fucking teeth down his throat. And he's like, you ever regretted not joining me when we made all those millions, $400 million? I go, no, bro. I never regretted it. You know, I look at you and you're like probably one of the most hated people on this planet. And I go, and people hate on me. But you, my friend.
Take the cake.
You, my friend. You made me fucking, you know, you made me loved. You know, and it is what it is, bro. You know, I never shared that story with anybody, really. But my friends that were with me that night knew what it was about. But I never really told anybody about that story.
That's a pretty crazy story.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it's fucked up how vindictive someone can be in that position. Someone who's never told no, and then they will lash out because of it.
It was a business thing, you know, and I realized later that it's business is business. It was, at the time, I was probably the most famous tattooer in the world. And to them, you couldn't allow that person to build a brand. There was a personal thing that I took it personal, but, you know, whether it was a real personal thing, Khabib took it personal, McGregor didn't. You know, there's always going to be that guy that gets really angry and that guy that, you know. Yeah, I don't think it was personal for him. I think it was just business. And he was a businessman and he came from that business. And that's a shitty business. There's like three businesses in the world. You don't want to fucking have your foot in. And it's TV business, music business, and fucking clothing. Those are the three Satans. You know, and those are really hard. And then when people came years later, they're like, we want you to be. I'm like, look, you know what, man? That's not business I want to be a part of. It's just a business I'm too uneducated about it. And it will gobble me up. You know, I'm going to stick to the business I know. And I'm going to stick to the business that I learned so much during the years that I know how to fucking make sure that there's a condom attached to my ass before you start fucking me. That's basically what it is, you know, and unfortunately, it's a very hard thing to do. Half the time is carry a condom in your back pocket.
I'm glad you're considering your own safety.
Always, safety is everything.
I'd hate to see something bad happen to you. Your ass.
I realize there's a lot of businesses that I've been offered to be a part of that I just probably should turn down, and I should just stick to where my knowledge is. I love a lot of things in life other than tattooing. But I realized that the ones that I'm probably capable of handling myself are the ones that I've been embedded with for so long and that I know how to take care of myself, you know, and I'll stick to those.
Well, I think you said it all.
I appreciate it.
I'm pretty sure we could go all day, so let's wrap it up.
Yeah, man. You know what? It's funny. I really do. I enjoy good conversations. I'm one of those suckers for conversation. I'm like the guy that could sit on a fucking... in a bar and have a 14-hour conversation with somebody that there's a lot of good information that you're taking in and you're giving, you know, and maybe you don't agree on everything, but I think that's the best part of having conversations, is that conversations change people's lives. You know, everything we do changes somebody's life. You know, what you said to me will affect me forever today. And maybe what I said to you will affect you forever. And we took two different paths due to this conversation, due to many conversations that we'll have. I think that's the greatest thing that we have. And we do it less and less and less because we're more prone to stare at our phone. I think it's important that we talk and that we see other people's, and we don't have to come in there with swords fucking swinging. But we should just listen to each other. And in this industry, for us, in our little tiny world, in this bubble of tattooing, to fucking just becoming better human beings, you know, in so many fucking ways.
At least we've got this.
At least we have this. Yeah, man.
I really want to thank Ami for sitting down with me for a couple hours and really getting into all the nitty gritty. And I think it was a great way to kick off season 2 of the show. So thank you, Ami. You can follow him on Instagram at AmiJames1, where you can keep up with all of his day-to-day, his tattoos, his tattoo shops, and his tattoo projects like Tattoo Do. I'm Andrew Stortz. You can follow me on Instagram at Andrew Stortz. And if you want to keep up with the show, if you want to check out old episodes, future episodes, you can go to booksclosedpodcast.com. We've got all the audio and videos and photos and info and links to sponsors and people's links and all everything, show notes, it's all there. We've also got some new merch, so if you want to support the show in that way, you can check out the merch store on booksclosedpodcast.com. And of course, thank you to our sponsors this week, Mr. Flash Machine and Victorious Vines. And that's really about it for this week. That's all I have for you. It's just, 2 hours interview. That's pretty good. That's double what I normally do. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed making it. And I will see you weekly from here on out. Next Monday, I'll be back for you with episode 2, where we will sit down with a new guest who I will cryptically omit their name right now and fade out, and the music's getting louder and we're going, and see you next week. Thank you very much.